Hello and welcome to Scoppy Radio. My name is Daniel Johansson.
And I'm Maureen Smith.
And it's Sounding Board.
Sounding Board. It's just a sounding board.
Banana. How are you doing, Mo?
I'm all right. It's my first day off in like a month.
Yeah. Yeah. So just like general housekeeping thing. It's been super slow in the Scoppy world the last month. I mean, we've been posting a shit ton of articles, but like as far as podcast episodes go, you've probably noticed it's been slower.
Yeah, we just haven't had time.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Yeah. Maureen just got done with Great God Pan. You know, I feel like we've probably mentioned this in passing in the last couple episodes, but just kind of like this is the first time we're like, okay, sitting back down. Sun is in Aries. It's time to work.
Y'all, I'm really excited because we're in talks to have an astrologer on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, you know, we've talked enough about it. We might as well get a professional in here.
Yeah. I also love that, like, sounding board, the posts that people are, like, yearning for are those, like, here's your sign as, like, a drink or, like, a Mexican food or, like...
Yeah,
you know, like
those do really well.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like that's what you're all really into. That's just what we're all really into right now is figuring ourselves out. It's really beautiful. Anyway, so that's a thing. Sun in Aries means we're all just like fucking active as hell, which I'm about.
It is my birthday coming up soon.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To continue the astrology talk, I thought that my Saturn returns was done. I thought that Saturn returns was like 27.
Mm.
Turns out that it's not.
No, yeah.
That I haven't yet experienced my Saturn returns. My Saturn has not returned.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, no. Sounds like you're going to have an intense year coming up.
Yeah.
That's okay. I still have 2 years then, which is nice.
Yeah?
Yeah. I am a year younger than Maureen, if anyone was curious about that.
Daniel's like a year and a half younger than
me.
Yeah.
Pretty young.
I'm turning 28 in a couple weeks, and Daniel is 26.
Yeah.
Because he's a baby.
So.
A tiny baby.
Yeah, but I'm like 26 and a quarter now, you know?
No.
26 and like 3/8.
26
and... when you're a kid and you're like...
Oh, yeah.
I did the math. I learned fractions today.
As it relates to how soon I get presents.
I'm 4 out of 12. So like 1/3. I'm like 26 and a third. I think. Is that right? January, February, March. Yeah.
Yeah.
Me counting months. Cool. So we could probably start getting into stuff. I feel pretty good about, like, what other Scoppy stuff is there?
I mean, we may have brought this up on another sounding board, but like we are in the process of hiring interns.
Yeah.
We've hired 2 interns to help in our sales efforts, which is very exciting. Very, like, 2 really cool people who I'm very excited to get working with. And then we might be bringing on some students once their semester ends.
Yeah.
Which is also very cool. I'm excited to have some... You know, not to say that we're old by any means, because we're definitely not, but like to have some younger energy,
yeah,
is going to be really cool. Yeah.
I have a question for the listener. So, one of the things that we always kind of do, and we do it at the end of every show, is like the ask for donations thing. And it's super important to us because, like, that's kind of what the sales efforts are and everything like that, like the figuring out advertising and stuff like that. Is all relevant to like how the hell we can do this at all. So like we don't normally, like, besides the end thing, like talk about like asking for donations or stuff like that. And I'm not necessarily doing that right now, though. If you were ever thinking about donating to Scoppy, that would be amazing. But what I'm actually kind of more curious is that as people that have maybe thought about it, is thinking about it as a donation or thinking about it as a membership something that's more appealing to you? Because, like, ultimately, like, how you interact with Scoppy is very much, like, the way in which we want to build this kind of dynamic. Like, obviously, we're talking about figuring out advertising, sales, and stuff like that. But I'm saying, like, if we need to get, if we want to take the, like, there's the option of taking, like, the thought of it as a donation at all out of the equation is there, just because, like, we're not a nonprofit and we're never going to be a nonprofit, so, like, we're never going to be, like, tax deductible. So, like, although you are, like, in to some extent giving money in return for, like, nothing, or in some cases some things, you know, if we just go all ham in building this platform as a, like, consumption, like a consumable / service for funding model, then figuring out how to do that, like, as a, in the dynamic of, like, you the individual to us the magazine, is something that would be really important to us to figure out, like, how, what you're looking for. Like, if you're, what are you looking for out of a podcast / magazine that you give $5 a month to? Like, what is it that we can be like, this is what we provide and this is why you should give us $5 a month? And not that you have to, but, like, it's just something that, if we're gonna have this $5 a month option, I want to figure out, like, how best to word it, just because we are in this, like, transition space of figuring out.
We might open this up to the Facebook group.
Yeah, I for sure.
I just, like, post a thing being like, hey, like, sorry, we're going to talk about money for a second. Like, what, you know, this is not, like, a request for money, although, I don't know.
It kind of, like, low-key is, but it's, like, not.
Low-key is, but in a way that we want to make it worth everybody's while. Like, if we were to, if, you know, if you were to consider giving $5 a month to any entity, like, yeah, what would you be looking for out of that $5 a month? Like, right, what would be the tipping point of, like, damn, I got to get on that.
Right. Or like, wow, I'm glad to know that this is helping, you know, like, or, you know, I don't know how.
Because I mean, like,
I know that. Sorry, go ahead.
Because, like, if it's helpful, then, like, we can give you, like, statistics of, like, where your money goes.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, every $25 a month donation that we receive, after, like, fees and everything, that pays for paying one writer for an article.
Yeah.
If you give $5 a month, that covers our monthly storage.
Yeah. For, we have to pay for Google. Like, Google storage for all of our files and stuff like that.
I think it's like $3 something a month.
Yeah.
And so after fees, I think that a $5 membership is, you know, so, like, if you're that one person that pays $5 a month, you're paying for our online storage.
Yeah.
At $10 a month, I don't know.
I mean, the reality of it is that the money that Scoppy brings in goes straight to paying writers.
Yeah.
And, like, we already don't pay all of our writers. So,
which,
like,
sucks.
It sucks. And it's embarrassing sometimes.
Yeah.
So, like, that's kind of why we're working really hard to make this happen. Because, like, writers deserve to get paid. People that work with us deserve to get paid at every like, moment.
Yeah.
So we're figuring that out. And in that way, we're figuring out what that kind of individual space looks like. So, please write in, let us know. Yeah, that was, I know that's a, that's, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
No. That's all I've got.
Okay, cool. Do you want to start getting into kind of, like, election stuff? So it's the election episode. We talked a bit about it on the last episode with Rose and Frank, but
that was fun.
It was fun.
If you haven't listened to that episode, I encourage you to do so.
Yeah, and I'm actually gonna kind of finish what I was, because I now remember what I was saying in the moment when I was like, "Oh no, I can't keep talking about this. We need to talk about nothing other than a company at all."
Mm-hmm.
What I was saying was, like, it was relevant to what we were talking about with Rose and Frank in that, this idea of what is reality and, like, what is brainwashing. Like, it's really the thing that I said on yesterday's episode was, like, I listen to a lot of people. I read a lot of people's thoughts and stuff. And in that vein, we get a lot of conspiracy. I read a lot of conspiracy theorists,
mm-hmm,
theories and stuff like that. Which, you know, whatever, it's a way to think about it. But the thing is that there are also a ton of, like, really obvious things happening that aren't, like, a giant conspiracy, you know? Like, J.B. Pritzker spent $70 million on his campaign and won.
On a primaries campaign.
On a primary campaign. And one.
I can't even imagine when I both dread and am so looking forward to seeing that final number.
It's absurd. Yeah, like you're talking about like for in November.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's that. So like campaign financing. Very obvious, very dirty thing that's happening that like we really need to address. And that's not a like.
Like we literally like the result of the gubernatorial primary is we're in an oligarchy.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean like sure the oligarchs.
Illinois is an oligarchy.
Yeah. And like the oligarch's policy platform is very similar to Biss's. And Biss, that's our point, is he's not an oligarch. He was actually trying to run a Democratic campaign.
Yeah.
And was not able to succeed.
Yeah.
He ran a Democratic Party campaign and couldn't do it.
Yeah. Because a billionaire had more capital.
Right. So that's a very obvious reality thing, you know? And like, and so, and I'm not like balancing this against, if you're so caught up in a conspiracy theory, also be caught up in this, please, is my point.
Yeah.
It's like, this is obvious. And so there's that. And then the other thing I really wanted to mention was like the blatant white supremacy that we're living in. And like a Nazi getting 20,000 votes in a congressional campaign is fucking absurd. And like, why are we not like, what do we need to be doing to address that? Like, what is going on with this urban rural divide? Like, how do we bridge that? It's something I'm thinking about, something we've talked about on the show before, and figuring out how to bridge downstate and city of Chicago, because like the poor people in downstate and the poor people in city of Chicago are just so fucking divided. And of course, obviously some of them are just outright racist, but like I gotta hope that some of this is just also, like, lack of exposure. I don't want to say lack of education, because that's so fucking elitist. And on top of that, a lot of downstate Illinoisans are educated. They're just also racist.
Yeah, they just keep their world small. Something that I was talking to someone recently about was, I'm rereading Blink by Malcolm Gladwell. And in Blink... there is this, they discuss this study that is done. The name of the study is an acronym. The acronym is IAT. I don't remember what it stands for, but it essentially, it measures, just bias. It measures bias, and it does that by, comparing hesitation, of how quickly you are able to say, like, associate positive things with women and minorities and stuff like that. So, for instance, the first round of this test is that you are shown an image and you have to classify it as either male or career or female or home. And so, like, you're shown a picture of a baby. And so, like, you know, you would classify that as female or home, and you're shown a picture of like a pay stub, and you're, you know, you male or career, blah blah blah. But then what they do is they do male or home and female or career, and then what they do is they compare the reaction times, like how much slower you are to associate a baby with male or home. And they do that. They don't just do that with men and women. They do that with like another test that they did was European or good and African or bad. And so they did it with words. And so it was like words like evil, scary, magical, perfect, you know, stuff, you know, qualitative statements that you're supposed to put. But then what they did is they, again, switched it to African or good and European or bad and measured the reaction times. And almost inevitably, people were slower to associate African and good with those positive words. And the only, and what they did is they, and I'm so sorry that this is taking so long.
No, you're fine.
But, but what they did is they took the same group of people and had them take the test over and over again. And the results pretty much didn't change for those people, except for during the Olympics, when folks were watching people of color excel, just like every day, like sitting for like 3 hours a day watching people of color excel, and then all of a sudden the hesitation times became shorter.
Yeah. And I mean,
and so and so, like, just the different, like, it, and the conclusion that they drew is that if you surround yourself with positive images, of positive examples of what people of color can do, it, then your perception of those cultures and the worth of those cultures will inevitably change. And it all boils down to the importance of representation. And so when we talk about the lack of education, or like how racist folks downstate are, blah, 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 like, yes, at a certain, on a certain level, those people are, you know, some of those people are just shitty people, you know, some of those people are just trash heaps. And, you know, and that's in it. That's just a fact. But it's but it's really easy. It's really, really easy to say that everyone downstate is a trash heap. And that's just not true. In some cases, all it would take to kind of like change the tide for people is just to increase representation.
Yeah, and that is, like, also not to say that that, it, like, falls on the plate of, like, black folks to be more active.
No,
it falls on white people to, like, hire black people.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, it needs to be on an institutional level, you know? Like,
exactly.
Like, these, like, the foundation of how things are run, we need to have more representation.
Yeah.
And because currently most infrastructure is run by white people.
Mm-hmm.
It is on those white people in power to start, you know, using more representation.
Right. And that's the thing, is with identity. If you're not actively working to have identity in the, like, decision-making processes of the work that you're doing, it's so much easier to turn a blind eye. It's just, that's just the thing, is that for white folks will always have the energy and the space of mind to turn a blind eye to other identities. Not even intentionally, but just because there is a, like, internalized, like, systemic effort to turn that blind eye, to, like, make white folks better off than other folks.
Well, what I will say, kind of like on the other hand, is what I will say is that, you know, let's say that you are, you know, in a position of power within an entity where there is very little representation, but you are a well-meaning white person who knows that, you know, who has that ooky feeling deep inside of, wow, we don't have any black people working here. And there are people, you know, I know for a fact, I've been in that same situation of looking in a place that I work and being like, wow, it is a bunch of white folks in here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've never been in a position where I can change that.
Yeah.
But now that I am, to be perfectly transparent, it's hard to start. It's hard to start because, you know, you can put up job postings being like, we want to hire black people.
Well, you're working against the current.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, and so you can say, like, we want to hire black people in a job posting, but, like, that's like borderline tokenism. And so, you know, myself and, you know, our editorial staff and, you know, everyone in power here is trying to, like, figure out, like, how do we get a more diverse group of people, not for sake of tokenism, but just mm-hmm. because we want as many perspectives as possible. And
about, like, looking at a staff and being able to go, like, wow, I feel like I could fit in here.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I'm just saying, is that we kind of landed on it this morning. We were looking at other people's, like, apply here pages, and we found one that we thought was really cool, where they were basically saying like diversity in the workplace is very important, and we're striving to get to the point where, you know, we have an ideally diverse workspace. That being said, if you look at our team page and do not see yourself there, you do not see yourself, please don't shy away from applying, because we want to see you on our team page.
Yeah.
And that was something that I thought was like a really approachable way of going about it. That's not like tokenism. It's just like, you know, we want you there. Like, we want to see you there.
Yeah.
Not to make us look better, but to make you feel as though you have a place.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I thought that that was really cool. And so, like, if you are a person who's like wringing their hands over, you know, managing 6 white people and wanting to do better, then like, yeah, I encourage you to adopt that mentality of like, you know, don't like go walking down the street, you know, grabbing every, you know, black person by the shoulders being like, do you want to work with me? You know, put it out there and say, like, I want to see you on my team page. Please don't hesitate to make that happen.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. So I want to, that was great. I want to keep moving on through the Democratic election rates things. Just okay. I want to do the other bad news thing. I wanted to get that out of the way just because, mm-hmm, like, it's bad news. Mm-hmm. But that's that Mary Newman lost her race against Dan Lipinski, both Democrats, both running for Illinois 3rd. Hold on, I have the article up. Yeah, Illinois' 3rd congressional district.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Newman was a progressive. She was super. She was endorsed by, like, I think Planned Parenthood. I know she was the Our Revolution candidate. Reclaim Chicago, friends of the show, Reclaim Chicago. Love Mary Newman. And she was running against Dan Lipinski, who she frequently called out his views on abortion, and that he previously voted yes on banning federal health coverage that includes abortion in 2011. He voted against gay marriage. He voted against Obamacare when it was first introduced. He voted against the DREAM Act. And he had a press release on his site about Obamacare, like. It was just kind of like, okay, dude, I don't know. I mean, like, you're trying, I guess. But also, like, it's 2018 and this vote was in 2011. You've had quite a while to think about this response. It had better be a good press release response to the fact that you voted against Obamacare. But anyway, it was a super close race. Super, super close. Lipinski took it, though. So those are kind of the, you know, obviously, the other thing, too, coming back to kind of, like, what I'm counting as bad news, which is J.B. Pritzker winning the Democratic primary, I'm gonna vote for J.B. Pritzker. Like, that's just the reality of it, because we need to see Rahner out. In an era of Trump, we don't need our own Illinois Trump is kind of my thought. And I think that, you know, as a person that's like frequently the leftist person in the room, you know, I super get like third party votes. Like, I've always been super supportive of that. I super get dissenting opinions. I super get wanting to move out of the bipartisan system. It's not the year for that. It's just not. And like, it's just like, we need to fucking vote the Nazis out of office.
It's like the hierarchy of needs this year. It's, you know, what we can do right now is get people in power who we know base level their opinions align with ours.
Right. Yeah.
We need to address, like, we need to address hunger and thirst first.
Right.
And then we can address, you know, what kind of shirt we're going to wear. We need to address, you know, like, what? Mm-hmm. I'm doing a hierarchy of needs metaphor, looking at me like I'm a weirdo. No, like, we need to address base needs, and then we can get pickier once we have better people in our corner.
Well, and the time to be pickier was
it was just the passed. Primary. Yeah,
like,
no,
like
we
it's
lost
over.
We lost the opportunity to be picky.
Yeah,
now we just have to work with the hand we're dealt.
Yeah, if you're complaining about like that this candidate is not progressive enough, where were you
before. No. What I will say though is that horrible statistic that only 3% of millennials turn out.
Yeah.
That is a false. That is a misleading statistic.
Yep.
Because for some reason, you mentioned this on our show with Rose. For some reason, millennials are the age range that they're calling millennials is age 18 to 24.
Yeah.
Which though, I mean, like, I guess they're millennials, but like in that they were born after the millennium.
Yeah. bogus statistic.
It is a bogus statistic. Yeah, because both Daniel and I are like are millennials and we are both older than 24.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, like, I think that I don't know what the current age is, but I know it's because the cutoff is being born in 2000, isn't it? Or 2010?
2001.
2001. Being
born after 2001 is the cutoff. And right. I think that, I mean, I guess technically 18 is still before 2001.
But it's between 1990 and 2001, right?
Or no, like 1985 or something.
Okay, yeah. So you're talking about a whole decade of people that are not included in that statistic, but by calling it millennials.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And if there are people that you know sharing that statistic, just like tell them to fuck off.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what I want to find a source that like I want to go on like these Chicago, like the Illinois Election Board or something like that, and find somewhere that says that millennials are classified as 18 to 24. Because, and Rose brought this up, like 18 to 24 year olds on Tuesday, they were probably more concerned with getting through their midterms.
Yeah.
Because guess what? Election day fell right during midterms.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. That bracket was always going to vote low, like be a low turnout.
Especially during midterms.
Yeah. And in fact, that's the other thing that's absurd to me is that these articles exist. And then at the same time, you have these articles that are constantly talking about how big Democratic turnout was. And well, like if you look at the numbers, yeah, it was
a big
deal.
Well, and also a lot of the 18 to 24 year olds living in Chicago are not from Chicago.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
They have out of state.
Because they're in school, right.
They have licenses from Kentucky. I didn't even think about that.
That's like so accurate because there's so many colleges in Illinois.
Most of the kids age 18 to 22 do not... 18 to 24, because that doesn't even count the kids who are in master's programs.
Right, yeah.
For the longest time, when you were 24, you did not have an Illinois license.
Mm-hmm.
You got an Illinois license when you were 25. No, that's not true. But you got an Illinois license.
There was a
license.
Period of time. You're right. In that there was a period of time where I didn't have an Illinois license. I don't remember what years or which age of mine. I don't.
Yeah, but I think that you were just turning 24 right. when you got your license. But like that, you know, the fact that they're college students, the fact that most of the people living in Illinois current in that age bracket have out-of-state licenses, the fact that it fell during their midterms or during spring break when they weren't in town.
Yeah, it's a bogus statistic.
Yes,
for sure. And on voter turnout, I want to move into the positive, because now we've like kind of like, all right, sorry everybody that we went negative first, but we did. The other things that were really exciting, Chuy Garcia, who was the past mayoral candidate against Rahm Emanuel, was running to replace Luis Gutierrez's vacant congressional seat, and he won his primary. So he'll be facing off against some Republican nominee. I don't have it offhand. But he's pretty favored to win. He's very popular. But do follow Chuy. I mean, like, do support. Chuy's fantastic. Fritz Kagi voting out Joe Barrios. For those that don't know, Joe Barrios is kind of... it's kind of hard with City of Chicago politics because, like, obviously he's, like... People don't like Barrios for the same reason they don't like Rahm Emanuel, and that they're very pro-business. I mean, like, he's Cook County Assessor, and Cook County Assessor is a really big deal for, like, the idea of being a centrist, kind of neoliberal, pro the liberalization of financial institutions is what neoliberal means, by the way. I just always need to, like, say that.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, you know... The like pro Amazon crowd is very much like where Joe Barrios falls into. He's very much that guard of like Blue Dog Democrat. And Fritz Kagi won against him, which is a huge deal. Fritz Kagi was the Our Revolution candidate, super popular among progressives, and that Cook County assessor position is going to be a big deal. Are you looking at the absurd photo for Wacky Wednesday?
I get such a kick out of the Wacky Wednesday thing.
Yeah. I love it's right next to Kevin Koval's beautiful face.
He does have it. He's a handsome man.
Yeah. And it's just like clip art font. Wacky Wednesday.
Danielle
Levski.
Danielle Levski.
Can we fucking
round of applause for
round
Danielle.
Round of applause. Yeah, for real.
Wacky Wednesday.
For real.
Wacky Wednesday.
Wacky Wednesday. So yeah, keep posted on Fritz Kagi. That's really cool. Chewy, Kagi. There were a couple of really cool referendums that passed. There was a rent control referendum that I didn't have on my ballot, but it was on a ballot, so I didn't actually get to read all of the text of it. If anybody got to vote on that and want to talk about what that really has to do for their area, please let us know. Rent control referendum.
I am so sad that that was not on my ballot. Oh, man.
But it passed. It passed.
Yeah, it passed. That's amazing. But yeah. I would have loved to have voted for that.
Yeah.
So as most of you know, Daniel and I live in kind of like the Bermuda Triangle of Uptown, Andersonville, and Edgewater, like kind of in the no man's land between those three neighborhoods. I'm still registered to vote because I'm a total schmuck. I'm still registered to vote in Old Irving Park.
Yeah.
But what was cool is that put me in the 5th Congressional District, which meant that I got to vote against Benjamin Wolf.
Nice.
Which was a unique... I was... So, wait a minute. Who won that?
Not either of them. It was the incumbent.
Mike Quigley?
Yeah.
That's, I mean, better than... Or is he bad too?
Worse than if Samina won, better than if Wolf won, I think.
Okay. I mean, I voted for Samina.
Yeah. A lot of people did. She got 25% of the vote or something like that.
What did Wolf get?
9.
Good.
Yeah.
For him.
Yeah. It was pretty good. Anyway. So yeah, that's cool. I'm actually jealous. Although I gotta say, I fucking love Jan Schakowsky. Somebody tried to talk shit about Jan Schakowsky the other day. I'm like, do not come at me with fucking talking shit about Jan Schakowsky. Jan Schakowsky has been the most progressive person in Congress forever, and nobody fucking talks about her because she's a woman. And fuck you for that.
Well, she ran unopposed, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's why they're just the Democratic machine. And it's that's not really Jan Schakowsky.
No.
I mean, that's not really what she's about.
No.
So there's that. The other thing I really want to talk about, and I'm not going to go too into details. I'm going to name names, though, and highly recommend that you check out the article that we published, which is... The article's called Democrats See Record Midterm Voter Turnout, Two Nominees Facing Republican Incumbents in State Congress to Watch. So that's something, one of the articles we talk about, could just kind of do a little wrap up of the election. But the other thing that we do is we have a list of every, in the House Congress, U.S. House Congress, we list every Democratic nominee who was nominated to run against an incumbent Republican. So I very much feel that these are names that we need to know and need to make sure that we're supporting. Go like their Facebook page, share their shit if it's relevant to you. Sean Casten in House District 6, Brendan Kelly in District 12, Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan in District 13, Lauren Underwood in District 14, Kevin Gaither in District 15, Sarah Daddy in District 16, Junius Rodriguez in District 18. And so if any of those districts are your district, that's your Democrat, you know? If maybe you don't support them, that's a thing, I guess. But I am personally Daniel Johansson saying, support what we can do to get these Republicans out of office, because having a flipped House in 2018 would be a huge deal for United States politics. And Illinois, we're able to do it. We can actively contribute to that happening. The other two things that I am super into is the Chicago area state Senate and U.S. or a state House nominees that are also running against Republican incumbents. There are other downstate state senators and congressional folks running against Republican incumbents, but I don't I don't I although I'm super interested in organizing and helping to organize downstate, it was something like 20 or something positions. So first off, do check that out. Go find, I was able to find all of this on the Chicago Sun-Times site. If you just kind of like click through a few links, you'll start finding kind of way the all of the down ballot results. And if you want to start, first off, if you want to start like researching and finding out about these candidates that are running against Republican incumbents and want to do any work for SCOPU, we would gladly publish anything to help you get set up with like interviewing folks or things like that. Please reach out to me. But also, I want to mention two names of Chicago area folks, Ann Gillespie, who is was running for House District 82. She seems really rad. Do check her out. And Tom Kleistek was... Oh, I'm so sorry. So he was running for District 82, and Ann Gillespie was running for District 27. So Ann Gillespie was State Senate District 27, and Tom Kleistek was State House District 82. So that's a big deal. You know, state politics in Illinois. There have been some really interesting votes that have happened in the last year, and having more Democrats is always helpful to those things because that's how we get progressive legislation written and moved along, and how we continue to push this thing left.
Yeah. That's all your election stuff. I have a plug. I want everyone to look up where their Chamber of Commerce is.
Yeah.
And I want you to go visit them because they have amazing resources.
Mm-hmm.
They are hardworking people who love their neighborhood, who love your neighborhood, who love you. And they have such cool resources. They are always open to really cool ideas. They've got, you know, just go talk to the people who work in your Chamber of Commerce office, because we have, like I said, we're in the Bermuda Triangle of Edgewater, Uptown, and Andersonville. And so we actually have relationships with all three of those Chamber of Commerce. Which is very cool. Chambers of Commerce, I guess. We've asked all three of them for like help with some resources, and all three of them have just been like, yeah, like let's set up a meeting. Let's talk this out. You know, and whenever we reach out to them and ask them a question, they always ask us really thoughtful follow-up questions. They're super knowledgeable. Like, take advantage of that resource. I feel like not enough people do. And you know,
or think that their neighborhood has one. I mean, every neighborhood does have one, but a lot of them do.
Yeah, most of the big ones, if you live in, I'm sure Albany Park has one, but like if you like live in a little micro neighborhood, like if you live in Old Irving Park and you're not sure if there's an Old Irving Park Chamber of Commerce, like Irving Park does, you know, like it might not be the old part of Irving Park, but it's definitely Irving Park. And like in a time where the arts are underfunded, and you know, artists are always looking for funding, a chamber of commerce, you know, has amazing connections with people who want to get their businesses recognized. And like if a business can partner with an artist to make something happen, like that just makes that business look good. And that's the kind of relationships that business owners are always looking for. You know, take that as a person who works at a small business. Like, We are constantly looking to make partnerships with people to make our jobs easier, to make our lives easier, to make you want to come in. So, like, talk to your Chamber of Commerce about being like, you know, I make, you know, ceramic penises, and I want more exposure for those ceramic penises. You know, where... Do you know of any Do you know of any businesses who would be interested in showcasing my ceramic penises? And you know, honestly, I bet they'd be like, you know what? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, for sure.
They're cool people. They're really nice people, and they want desperately to be relevant.
Yeah. Jesus. Cool. So the other thing I know you wanted to talk about.
I want to talk about how stupid Betsy DeVos is.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you sent me this article right before we started recording, and I was so glad to find out about it because, like, I don't often get to read good national news.
Oh, yeah. No, this is my favorite fucking thing. So, for those of you who are practicing self-care and trying to avoid any Betsy DeVos news like I was trying to do, like, first of all, good for you because that's a good practice. But you can take your head out of, you know, out of your pillow for just a moment and look at how fucking stupid she looks, and I'll update you about what's been going on. She's been going through, like, congressional and Senate hearings trying to pass her budget proposal, which is a nightmare. Pretty much every progressive and helpful program in the Department of Education, she's trying to eliminate, freeze, or slash. Congress just came back with, like, their counter budget. And it's like every program that she wanted to get rid of, they're boosting the funding.
Yeah, and I love it was like a bipartisan effort too.
Yeah, exactly.
To be like, fuck you, Betsy DeVos.
Democrats and Republicans worked together to just, like, drop 10,000 eggs on DeVos's face. It was the
healthcare can't figure that out.
But making Betsy DeVos look like a fucking moron, nailed it. Okay, so this is a Chicago Tribune article. The title of the article is "Congress Rejects Much of Betsy DeVos's Agenda in $1.3 trillion Spending Bill." So Betsy DeVos had sought to cut Education Department funding by $3.6 billion, about 5%. Among other cuts, she wanted to eliminate funding for after-school programs for needy youth and axe a grant program that helps low-income students go to college in favor of spending more than $1 billion to promote charter schools, magnet schools, and private school vouchers. Her proposal also outlined cuts to the Office for Civil Rights because the office had grown more efficient, she said, a move that outraged Democrats and civil rights groups. So there have been, like, videos circulating of different senators and congresspeople just, like, tearing Betsy DeVos apart about her proposal, and it's been glorious, but they finally became organized and just threw it all in her face. So what's so amazing about this article is, first of all, the detail. They go through pretty much line by line of her proposal, and then they talk about how much money she was going to take from this program, what the program does, and how much Congress is increasing the funding by. And it's just very cathartic. I'll give you an example. Congress rejected DeVos's proposal to freeze the maximum Pell Grant award to low-income students at $5,920, a ceiling that would have remained in place for the foreseeable future without any directive to adjust the award to inflation. Instead, lawmakers have raised the maximum by $175 to $6,095 to help an estimated 8 million low-income college students who rely on the program to pay for school. The Trump administration also wanted to have HALVE cut in half funding for federal work study programs that help more than 300,000 students work their way through college. Congress decided to increase its allocation by $140 million for a total of $1.1 billion. And it just goes from there. It's pretty amazing. I highly recommend checking it out. And as always, Scoppy is your number one resource for all news relating to Betsy DeVos being a fucking idiot.
Good. Cool. Good. Well, I think we should probably wrap up. The other thing I want to make sure to mention is do check out, you know, we're posting so many articles now. Honestly, pretty much every day you can find something new. We've been working really hard on these podcast episode recaps, and I'm trying to figure out a way in which people can, like, consume them in mass. You know, I don't really know how that would be, like a series of links through them or I don't know, but, you know, they're super interesting. I mean, we have so many writers now that are doing them. The most recent one with Kevin Colville is one we're super proud about because Kevin Colville's great, fantastic. People's Sister Chicago is fantastic. I was just reading it again a couple weeks ago. Do check it out. to check out his work. Check out Louder Than a Bomb is a big deal. And yeah, it's fun getting to like revisit these conversations that we've had with folks throughout the last year, especially for those of you that have been with us through them. It's a cool experience to kind of get to relive that and revisit and reaffirm, you know, the lessons we've learned. And I think that's really kind of how we're going to continue growing and understanding what it is that we're trying to do. So do check that out. Otherwise, is there any other thing that you want to point out that Scoppy's done in the last couple of weeks that you want to make sure to like kind of point people to?
We have a Scoppy studio.
We do.
Which is really fun. This duo called Nick and Luke, they're out of New York and Baltimore. I saw them play at Heartland Cafe in like September or something like that. And I accosted them. I like came up to them and was like, "Hi, I run a magazine. I would love to have you play on our magazine." And they were like, "Well, we're leaving tomorrow and we won't be back until March. So, but we'll keep in touch." And we did keep in touch. And I had on my calendar for 6 months that they were going to be back in Chicago on March 14th. And then on March 14th, they came to our apartment and they played a set and it was great. Mm-hmm. They were so cool. So head to our Facebook, head to our website and watch that video because it's so fun.
Yeah.
They're so like so high energy, like just these two dudes, you know, writing kind of like original folksy country music. It's really, really fun and really, really cool. Please check that out. And if ever you know of a person who would be down to play an intimate set in our apartment, then let us know, because we're always, it's really fun for us. And also, if you're ever interested, if like we ever opened that up to like have a small audience, like if we were to do that like exclusively on weekend afternoons or something,
yeah,
that way, you know, we could have a small audience. Like if ever anyone would be interested in that, then like
that would be super easy for us. Like maybe that's something that could be a, because like all we'd have to do is post in DIY Chicago being like Scoppy Studio is just going to be every Saturday or like every other Saturday or something like that. And yeah. If that's something that like your $5 a month would be valuable to get into.
Oh, for $5 a month on Saturday afternoons, you can come to our apartment. We'll give you food and you can watch a live recording of a band. That would be cool. Yeah, we'll post that in Sounding Board and see how that goes. But the thing is, we would just need to consistently get people.
Book it.
Yeah. Oh, that might be a good internship
project.
Like having someone book bands
for yeah
Saturday.
Let us know if you're interested in doing that. Right into the show. Cool. Well, thank you all so much for listening. I've been Daniel Johansson.
I continue to be Maureen Smith.
If you want to keep up with what we're up to, there are so many ways you can do that. The first is to head over to scoppymag.com. We spell that scapimag.com. Otherwise, you can find us on social media. We have a really dope Facebook group that we love and adore called Sounding Board. If you can't find it, shoot either me or Maureen a personal message or shoot an email to scoppymag@gmail.com and we will get you set up and in that space because it's fun and progressive and feminist and intersectional and good.
So and if it's not, we'll kick you out.
Yeah, we will.
So fast.
I love wielding the banhammer. It's satisfying. I already have.
Good.
Who was it? You'll never know.
You'll never know.
Message me if you want to know. Anyway, you can otherwise find our Facebook page, Scoppy Magazine, and you can also find us on Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, under Scoppy Mag. We spell that S-C-A-P-I-M-A-G. I've already said that now three times, and I'm still working on this. It's you know, it's coming together. My little back end spiel is things keep changing. Otherwise, you can find our podcast under Scoppy Radio. I think we're not back up on Google Play yet, but I will get around to doing that. I promise. I promise. That's it.
Cool. And as always, I'm here to emphasize the importance of donations. We run on a shoestring budget. Everything that we've been able to do up to this point has been through your generosity. So first of all, thank you so much. Second of all, we could use a little bit more help. If you're in a position to give, you can head to our website, scoppymag.com, and go to our donate section. There are a couple ways that you could give. First of all, you could do a one-time donation. If you choose to do that, you will have our eternal gratitude. Otherwise, for as little as $5 a month, you can support our mission of uplifting local arts and independent media. If you're interested in advertising opportunities, please feel free to reach out to us at scoppymag@gmail.com. So, give a little, give a lot, and if you can't give, then listen, participate, and share.
Cool. Thanks again so much for listening. Go out and make something.
Yep.